Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
This is 4Network.
Credo is a daft of the Football Daft podcast.
Is that a good story?
I've got an encyclopedia brain.
He's got a day man nothing.
Fuck's sake. What are you, a fucking hooligan?
This is Football Daft.
You're a Rangers man.
Aye.
I'm a Hearts man.
With Ewan Cameron.
I work for Showtime and ESPN.
And
it's the Football Daft Podcast with Ewan and Grado. Hello there, Grado.
All right, mate.
We have what I would describe as a really great show today. I know you're very happy with the guest that's going to be joining us live in the studio today. He's still a current footballer. He's playing his trade at Partick Thistle. But I know that you're a huge fan, and you're such a fan, you've actually brought a notebook and pen with you today.
I always do.
No, you don't always do. The last time you brought a notebook and pen for one of our guests, it was when Ian Durant was here. Today, you've brought another notebook and pen because it's Kenny Miller, who's going to be sat here in the studio, the former Rangers, Celtic, Rangers striker.
I am delighted.
I know you're happy with Kenny being here. How's your week been, Mr. Grado?
I went and seen a spooky woman on Monday.
Sorry?
A spooky woman. Well, she was a seance. What do you call it?
A psychic. So where was this woman?
She was in my girlfriend's house, and everybody went in one at a time.
So why was she in your girlfriend's house?
Because that's what you do. You book her to come to the house.
Do you not go to her?
No.
Most people go to the psychic.
No.
Because they need to be in their own surroundings.
Part of the way she comes, you go and pick her up. She comes and shit. I know, you pick her up.
You have to pick her up.
Aye, you pick her up.
She doesn't make her own way to the house.
No. She comes in, sits with a wee cup of tea. And everybody goes in one at a time.
And how old is she?
Oh, she's an older woman.
Aye. So she comes with a notebook and pen, right?
Aye.
And she is there to give a reading for everyone in the family.
Aye.
So you go in one after another. So you're all sitting in a room somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone goes into the room to see her. So how long do people have with her?
About half an hour.
Half an hour?
Aye.
So how many of you is there?
Six. And
so,
I was last.
So you're sitting there for 3 hours?
I was fearing in case she was going to end up being tired and going, right, I'm only going to get 10 minutes. So she's going to be, you know, she can't be fucked. But she was actually all right.
And did she know you were there?
No.
So you walk in,
mm-hmm.
You sit down in your girlfriend's house.
Aye.
You're sat on the sofa next to her?
Aye, sat next to her.
Did she take your hand?
No.
Did she look at your tea leaves?
She just looked at me and went, who's got the stomach problem? And I went, me. I've got IBS.
That was her first question.
Aye. I've got IBS.
Uh-huh.
She goes, I've got your dad's granda here. I went, well, I've never met him, but tell him I say hello.
Your dad's granddad?
Aye.
Was in the room, mm-hmm. with this woman?
Aye.
Why your dad's granddad?
I've no idea.
Did you ever meet your dad's granddad?
Nah.
Do you know who he is?
No, I met him. So that's why I was kind of going, is there any Delcy or no?
And what does your granddad say?
He says, stay after curries. I says, so what is that?
Wait, so your dad's granddad from beyond the grave appears in your girlfriend's house.
Aye.
And the first thing he says to you, someone who you've never spoke to in your life before,
Stay off the curries. I went, all right, cheers.
So, everything that he could tell you, any bit of advice that he could give you, your granddad that you've never spoke to, stay off the curries.
Right,
okay.
And then I went, all right. I goes, there's only Dales up there. She went, no, he's still there. You got a back issue or no? I says, well, I do about the wrestling. She went, aye, because he's up there saying, hey, you kiddie on wrestler. I says, damn, I'm a day one, man. You know, get my mom there. Get my mom.
So he leaves.
Aye, he leaves. Then my mom comes in.
So your ma's there in the room.
Aye, she's there.
Right, so what does your ma say to you?
She, get your conscience sorted.
Get your conscience. So your mom from beyond the grave.
Aye.
Comes in and says, get your car insurance sorted.
Which is funny because it's up this month. So,
right.
So I thought, oh, I goes, tell her thanks. And then she still.
Oh, you're not offended with me laughing here.
What?
Your mum comes, right? Everything that your mum could say to you. Son, I miss you. I love you. You're the best son ever. No, get your car insurance sorted. Right?
So, she
right?
said that. And then she said, oh, your mum says she can see you in Benidorm. I went, that's fun enough. We're about to go to Cyprus, but it got cancelled. She went, no, the programme Benidorm. I so, went, oh, that's tidy.
Your mum sees into the future now.
Aye.
And sees that you're going to be in Benidorm.
Aye.
So she tells you that you're going to be in this TV show, Benidorm, which is aye. An ITV hit.
Aye.
That's good news.
That's good. And there's some writers that day Benidorm and day Two Doors Down. So it kind of makes sense there. So she says, will you take that? I went, oh, if I can take that. All right. All right. But you know what, Ewan? I know you can take the pee and all that.
I'm not taking the pee.
But it was actually quite nice. See, when I was young, I used to go to a spooky club up the Hawks, up in Stevenson. And basically what would happen is every week there would be a different medium. That was it. A different medium would come in and they would give readings. And some of the stuff was really spot on. Like one time, this medium came up and went, Wilhelmina. And I went, what? Wilhelmina. I says, I don't know when to call Wilhelmina. I went home and found out that was the name of my great-grand. So that was kind of weird.
So you didn't know your great-granddad and you didn't know your great-grand, but they're coming through to speak to you.
Aye, they keep wanting to talk to me. But it was, you know, it was interesting to see this wee woman on Monday. Uh-huh. All she done was sat with a wee cup of tea, right, with a notepad. See, when I used to go to the spooky club up the Hillocks on Monday, everybody would do something, every medium would do something different to G themselves up, right? You know, somebody would bang in the wall, somebody would, you get them to say, I mean, This one guy came in, right? There was about 20 of us, and this week he went to Centre Hawks, and he says, guys, just before I go in and speak to the other side, I just need to sing a wee song just to get the room flowing, right? Uh-huh. So we're all sitting there, I look at him, and he goes, and baby, every time you touch me, I become a hero. I'll make you see the matter where you are, and you tell me that you love me. Right, I'm getting an Ian. Who's got an Ian? That's what he done. He said, what? It was fucking total entertainment.
So this guy would sing to bring the spirits out, and then they would all come out and go, hey, hey, there's an Ian here.
Aye. And then he would go, and somebody here has just got new treatment, new medication. Aye, I've got new pills for my feet. Somebody in the crowd, you know, would take it, and it was brilliant, mate. I used to go out every Monday.
So do you believe?
I think I do, mate, aye.
I'm going to ask you a question, right? This is where I have my doubts about mediums and psychics and everything, right? People go missing. People are murdered and they never find out who the murderer is. Why do people who are murdered or killed or anything like that ever contacted and they go, by the way, it was him that killed me?
Because they're not getting their 30 bar an hour. They need to pay them. They're not picking her up for a house. Police only picking them up. Go to the door.
Was there anything else that your mum said that was really interesting?
She says, your mum's saying hi. Neil Lennon.
Neil Lennon?
That's what she said. And I just went, what about it? Does she just say Neil Lennon? then she said, she's also saying Chris Boyd.
So all you got was Neil Lennon and Chris Boyd.
Aye.
No explanation.
No explanation.
What could that mean? Did you go away and think about it?
I just went, I've met Neil Lennon a few times. A nice guy. He set up that hang between me and Jason Cummings. Chris Boyd, I've DM'd him a few times on Instagram. So I'll take that.
Chris Boyd refused to come on the programme this week.
That's weird. There you go. Aye.
Do you know, Chris Boyd refused to come on this programme?
Well, hold on, why is he refused?
Apparently it was due to his Sky contract, like,
that was it. Oh, right, oh, okay.
But Kenny Miller, he was on BT. And he's coming on, is that...
He maybe...
What happens with these players? Did they, like, do you know, they independently contracted? You know,
every contract will have stipulations in it where you will be allowed to do X, Y, and Z.
Aye, because, like, I see Craig Beattie, who I think's pretty good on Clyde. I think he's really
good. He's good, yeah.
And he does the
thing. I like Craig.
He does the BBC up the games and the championship.
That's right, aye. On BBC
and I'm just
Scotland.
Going, are they allowed to do that? You know,
well, Craig Beattie's a pal of mine. I could ask him to come in.
Everybody's your pal.
I like everybody, and everybody likes me.
I've
got his number. Do you want me to see if he'll come in?
Aye, let's do it. I would like to speak to Craig Beattie.
Do you want me to do him now? Phone him, ask him.
Aye, bar and go.
Great on FaceTime.
Very cool.
Craig Beatty, it's Ewan here.
Yes, how are you?
Ewan, how you doing, mate? It's Gredo. How's it going, pal?
Gredo.
What are you saying to me? You all right? How's it going?
I'm all right, pal. Yourself?
I was going to say, here, I'm quite... I like listening to you on Clyde.
Yeah, you enjoying it, eh?
I think you're very good at what you do. Do you want to come on my podcast?
When?
Next week?
Drop me a message, I'll see what the script is.
That's a nod in.
Oh, he's down south down next south. Week. We've just been talking about you because Grady was talking about his favourite pundits and you're one of his favourite pundits.
Aye. Oh, hi, there's Kenny Miller. We need to go. Right, catch you later, Craig, right? See you later on, mate.
Kenny Miller's doing the stairs. Right. Speak to you later, Craig, eh?
Bye-bye. Right.
Cheers, bye-bye.
What building is it? Shanty Park. Right, I won't go with Kenny, right? See you later.
Right. It's now time for Strip for Grado. This is where you send us in your strips and we give you a wee shout out. So thank you so much to everybody who's taken the time out to send us in their strips. And I'll be honest with you, Grado, when you came with this idea, I thought, nobody's going to send us in a strip. Aye. And look, we've already got, what, six up?
Aye,
and there's more in the office?
Aye.
So what strip have we got today?
Today, it came from Mark Reid and Lanark United. They're celebrating their centenary season, and this is a strip for the last year when they won the SFJA West Region League.
Well done,
after
boys.
Only being defeated twice, by the way, Hull.
Well done.
They're playing in the West Region League Cup final this Sunday, Two Bells, against Auchinleck like Talbot at Beechwood Park. So pop along and give them their support if you can. MD, that's playing against the Talbot, gets my support as a Buffs fan, so...
You know what? Talbot.
No, I'm not a Talbot boy. I'm not a Talbot man. No, because I'm a Buffs fan.
So you'll be wanting them to pump them?
Yes, come on, Alana, this week.
It's a nice wee strip. I thought when you first brought it in, I thought it was St Johnston.
Aye, there's a lot of St Johnston tap. Aye.
Who's the sponsors of the team?
Bryson Tractors Limited, Lanark. So there you go, Bryson. You're getting a free plug on this show.
So thanks so much. Who was that again that sent in the strip?
Mark Reid. So cheers, Marky boy.
And the very best of luck on Sunday. Aye. Get along and support the team and see them pump the Talbot.
Pump the Talbot. Well, I hope I've not got any bookings and knocking legs in.
Grado's rant. Right, Grado, let's do it. What's your rant this week?
Well, actually stems from, well, strip for Grado. Every week we get folks sending in their strips.
It's great.
To pump the water, it's brilliant.
And punters love sending in the strips. Aye. And getting a mention.
But this week, apparently, we're pond life. Apparently, we're disgusting. Apparently, we're the worst folk in earth because we're hanging these taps up with thumbtacks. We get pelted off a guy on Twitter, didn't we? He's not happy at all.
He thinks it's a disgrace.
He thinks it's a disgrace.
That we are putting football tops up on in the studio with thumbtacks.
What does he want us to use? Fucking print stick. You know what I mean? I don't get it.
But here's now.
Are we in the rang?
He might have a little point because I was watching something on Sky Sports the other night there,
right.
And they had it was a spin off of Soccer AM. It was a nighttime show, and they had loads of strips in the background. And they had them on coat hangers, and the coat hangers were hanging from nails.
Right.
So they were not pinned to the wall. And he might have a point, because if I look behind you right now, it's not just one pin. There are four pins hammered into all the strips.
Actually.
You know what I mean? Four thumbtacks. I mean, they're not the smallest of thumbtacks. I mean, look at the size of those thumbtacks. He might have a wee point.
Aye, actually. Sorry, pal.
Let's take a look back at last weekend's games and some of the talking points from the week. Aberdeen 1, Hibs 1. Aberdeen down to 9 men. We're 1-0 down. Got a late equaliser, Sam Cosgrove. Hibs a wee bit cheesed off at not holding on for the 3 points. Grado, your thoughts?
Deutsch Sibo.
You're saying Deutsch is up there with Sibo. Philip Sibo, is it?
Come on, man. He's had, come on. The chances he's had.
Hearts 0, Kilmarnock 1. Levine out.
Oh,
please back me up. Come on, Grado.
No, but do you know what? Right, okay. I'll give Levine until
you like Levine.
I do like Levine. Right? I do like Levine. He was at Ibrox all day watching the Rangers.
Again, every bloody week. No matter what I say, no matter what I bring up, you turn it into Rangers. So you like Levine because he was at Rangers last week?
Obviously, Kenny was there because we're playing him. In a
You're
fortnight's
so
time.
Predictable.
But what do you think? Do you think?
Out. That's it. Just get Levine out. And Jack Ross.
Jack Ross, I knew you were going to say that.
He's no longer in a job. And I think it's a bit unfair that he got the sack.
No, definitely.
Because Sunderland. He's only lost like 7 games in a year and a half.
Do you know if Sunderland are doing this documentary again? Do you know if they're doing a second season?
They are.
Oh, that'd right. be tidy.
Right.
That'd be good.
So Jack Ross is out in his ear. I would love for him to replace Craig Levine at Tynecastle and Budge. Get him before somebody else does because he's a decent manager.
Right, cool.
Motherwell 2, St Mirren 0. Motherwell are absolutely flying. They're the best of the rest just now with Celtic and Rangers ahead of them.
Are they doing well or is it just that every other team's doing shite and they've got a wee bit of consistency?
Probably a wee
because
bit of that.
Every year there's always a team, you know, Hearts done it last year. And it's Motherwell who that's not been. I didn't see that coming. So, but well done to the Steelmen. Well done 2-0 at home. Keep it up, guys.
Ross County 2, St Johnstone 2. St Johnstone having a miserable season.
Oh, that's because Fozzie's away. Did you see him celebrating when Ross County scored? He was getting off his nut.
He did.
I thought, oh, see if I was a St Johnstone fan, you'd be like that. That looked like a good game.
It was a good game, aye. Well done to Ross County, who are having a good season this year. Let's be honest about it. I mean, they just come up from the Championship and are doing okay. Livingston 2, Celtic 0, the result of the weekend. Is that the shock of the season so far? When you look at all the results that have happened,
I would say it is. Shock of the season so far. Well done to Gary Holt's man. He's done great.
I mean, that Celtic dropped 5 points in 2 league games.
What about fucking Chris did delete his Twitter?
Oh, I know.
But it just shows you, man. Some folk on Twitter, man.
I know.
Speed of Twitter. Did you see fucking angry Colleen Rooney? Colleen Rooney and Vardy. Oh, my God, man.
Colleen Rooney and Rebecca Vardy.
Popcorn out her wet, man.
You've been reading it?
Oh, aye, 100%.
Are you all over it?
I've even been reading the stories that she planted for Vardy's missus to put up. Do you know
no
what I mean?
Way.
Like, aye. See how like, the gender identity stuff in Mexico and all that. It's amazing, isn't it?
But you see Rebecca's come back and went,
oh, I'm pregnant.
I wouldn't have done that to
you. I don't
you.
Need that. I'm in my holidays, hen. I don't need this, hen. I'm in my holidays.
I don't need the money. Are you...
Look, come on. If somebody's got your password, if somebody's got Rebecca Vardy's password, I think the last... You know, there's so many things you could do with that. You'd know she's going to fucking screenshot Colleen Rooney stuff and send it to the papers. You'd do everything, wouldn't you?
Aye. Are you enjoying this battle on Twitter?
Hashtag love it.
Are you supporting Colleen Rooney and all this?
I love
what she's done.
I love the Rooneys, man. See how the story about how they used like their 5% discount in a restaurant.
Yes.
I love all that stuff, man. Because I know they're doing the earth. I love it.
They are doing the earth. Right. And Colleen Rooney is such a good investigator. I mean, she's been working on this for the last couple of years.
I know. Yeah, I know.
2 years.
Aye.
She says she knew, but she just had to 100% double check
everything. I wonder what made her go, right,
this is
it. I'm doing it today.
Aye.
And I wonder how Vardy's like at training. Oh, mate, you better check your fucking phone. Do you know what I mean? Just imagine what it's like now, Vardy. You'd be biffing out, going, phoning his missus, going, you better fucking turn me on, you better turn me on. Think it will be like that?
It'll be terrible. It'll be absolutely... But how she did it? We see when you're reading through the note
it's
of...
It's pure expertise.
And then right at the end, she goes,
that person
is Rebecca Vardy. Oh. And everyone just goes...
I know. It's amazing. She done well.
Let's get back to last week's football. Rangers 5, Hamilton 0.
Yeah, dancer! Top of the league.
10 goals in 2 games for Rangers.
Doing well.
Aberdeen and then Hamilton.
Oh, brilliant. Love it. Defoe getting a wee hat trick.
Uh-huh.
Aye, Barisic getting in on the act. But you know what, Ewan, I don't want to get too excited. As Stevie G says, trophies aren't won in October. We've got 30 games to go, but it's good looking at the table and seeing us at the top.
It's interesting you say that because on social media, Graham Kelty, who's a Rangers fan, is going to contact the show and he says the league isn't won in October, as you've just said, and so has Steven Gerrard said. Plenty of footballing minutes still to play. More points will be dropped, more points will be gained. James McPhee, poor performance from Celtic on Sunday against Livingston with the depth in our squad. Lennon should have rung the changes, really missing a backup striker if Griffiths isn't fit, and he'll go out and sign Gary Hooper for games like this as he's currently on a free. James Davidson, who's a Rangers fan, great to be back at top of the league.
No.
Do you want to read one?
fuck.
Well, do you read them?
You just keep going.
No, you do the James one then.
Right. As a Rangers fan, it's great to be back at top of the league. Been a long, hard few years. This year under Steven Gerrard, we're a different animal. And we've taken advantage of Celtic slip-ups. Just need to keep on doing what we didn't do last year. Motherwell talk. Declan Gallagher is the best centre-back in Scotland right now. Motherwell just have 5 points off the top and they could upset this year.
Upset what? The league?
Ah, they could. Do you think that could happen?
Well, do you think they could be a Leicester?
Could you imagine it?
Could they do a Leicester? No chance.
Pushing it.
Craig Logan
and Rangers. Rangers can win the league. It's all about mentality now. We have shown weakness in that area, but we've got our noses in front. There is little difference in the quality of both squads. It's all about mental toughness, particularly with Tynecastle being next up. Stuart and Falkirk blew away a 2-goal lead against Raith Rovers because Ray McKinnon doesn't know how to change tactics in a game.
Right, is that all the reaction, aye?
That's the reaction, mate.
Should we move on?
Aye, let's do it.
Okay. It's now time for Who Knows Wins, which we ran our own little league last week. Did you win any money, Grado?
Nah.
Did you win any money, Producer John?
Yeah!
Did you back Livingston to beat Celtic?
No, I didn't, but...
You get closest.
Everybody else had basically taken Celtic and Rangers in the Sunday game, so the pot got split between us and a lot of our listeners.
All right, so
there was £300 in the pot. So how many people won 50 quid?
I think it was about six of us picked up about 50 quid, including the gaffer.
Oh, no.
We should have been one of those, put it back in, but fuck that.
But I think even if you don't get everything right, it's who's closest.
Who's closest, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
God, that's actually all right. This is quite... So.
It's good, aye. So that was last week.
For God's sake, you might have put it in the pot.
I know, you might have just kept it for like this week,
know,
the National Week.
I know.
Greedy bastard. Anyway, Who Knows Wins is the home of social betting and are changing the culture of gambling. It's such a lot of fun. We had a great laugh with it last week. There was over £300 in the pot, which meant there was what? How many people would have been in there? If it's five or a go, what adds up to over 300?
60
people, 60 punters in the pot.
But that's what I'm saying. The mere people that sign up to it, the bigger the pot, it's going to be massive spread it a bit.
So that's a good first week that we had. So what you need to do is you need to download the app Who Knows Wins. You can get it on Google Play and also the Apple App Store. So get yourself onto that. We're there, me and Grado and the guys here at Football Daft. Now, bookies have been taken out of the equation. You get to bet on your favourite sports events against your mates. It could be anything. You set it up, you'll make a prediction. The amount of more people that are in it, the more money there is to win. It's a brilliant way to rake in the cash from your friends and getting it right up them whilst having a bit of banter along the way. There's no odds, no bookmakers. This is all about the prediction on sporting events. There's a little league table. So the more you know, the more you win. And as you've just heard, there was around 60 of us last week who listened to this show, all put in a fiver, and six people walked away with 50 quid for their £5, which is fantastic. So we're going to do it again this week, but this week is going to be international fixtures.
I hate international weekend.
I know you don't like international weekend, but how many fixtures are we going to look at here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Let's predict 10 results, right? Okay, so we're going to quickly go through these 10 results. Kazakhstan, Belgium, what would you go away?
Kazakhstan.
on Who Knows Wins. So you're going to obviously go Belgium. Belarus, Netherlands?
Belarus.
Cyprus, Russia?
Cyprus.
Hungary, Azerbaijan?
Azerbaijan.
Scotland, San Marino?
San Marino.
Estonia, Germany?
Estonia.
Poland, North Macedonia?
North Macedonia.
Slovenia, Austria?
Austria.
Wales, Croatia?
Wales.
Those are the fixtures on Who Knows Wins. If you want to get involved, then go and sign up. And all you need is to put in a fiver. And the bigger the pot, the more money you can win. So you just need... We've set that league up already. It's there. Under Football Daft, John?
Yep.
Money, money, money.
So get involved.
Must be funny.
So get involved now by downloading the app on Apple or Google Play by typing in Who Knows Wins and get yourself involved. Me and Grado are there. Come and take our money if you think you're hard enough.
Miller has lost the defender. Oh, brilliant. Kenny Miller. The value of quality.
Aidan McGeady now going on the prowl and he slips it through for Miller. Kenny Miller! At last! A goal for Celtic!
Irwin's header and suddenly Miller finds some space and he finds the route opening up to goal and he finds the back of the net!
Kenny Miller! You can always rely on him on Derby Day in Glasgow! Oh yes you can!
It's the Football Daft Podcast, and Grado's really happy with our very special guest today. At 39 years old, currently playing with Partick Thistle in the Championship, man of many clubs starting at Hibs with three spells at Rangers, one at Celtic, as well as the likes of Wolves, Derby, Bursaspor, Vancouver Whitecaps and Cardiff. Over 250 club goals, 69 caps for Scotland and 18 goals. Honours include three titles with Rangers, one with Celtic, two Scottish Cups, one with Rangers, one with Celtic, and a League Cup, Challenge Cup, and Championship medal, all with Rangers. Please welcome to the Football Dad Podcast, the one and only Kenny Miller.
J.D.
And Kenny, can I just
let you... Championship with Hibs as well, by the way.
Oh, so you did?
First division. Sorry.
There you go.
So you did, and that was under Alex McLeish.
That sure was,
what
eh?
What a season Russell that was.
Latapy, Frank Sozzi.
Oh, Latapy. Remember him?
What a...
Did he smoke kernels? I heard he was.
Hunters.
Or did smoke, he? Like, smoke like a chimney. Aye.
What a player, though.
What a player, though. What a team you had in that division.
Oh, what? I mean, Pat McGinley was still there. I think they were was he in there at the Championship? I think he might have been. Stuart Lovell came up for them. What a player he was as well. Really, really good group.
Because of the job that McLeish did, that's what got him the job at Rangers, wasn't it?
Effectively, yeah. I mean, that would have been a year and a half later.
Aye, because it was the December we...
It was, because Alex effectively sold me.
Aye.
Did he sit with you?
I was going to say that. So was the advocate that signed you?
He signed me, yep. And aye. Then, so it would have been about a year and a half after I left Hibs. Alex got the Rangers job and the first day he was in, sold me to Wolves.
Shut up, honestly.
First day on the job.
Honestly, yep. after him, yep. You playing for him all the times and then... First what happened there? What happened there?
He just... Well, Wilson had put a bid in.
Aye.
Prior to him being named as the manager, and I'd got a phone call for David Murray, aye, chairman, saying that he wasn't going to accept it until the new manager came in, because he thought that would maybe change. Aye. He wanted to give the new manager the opportunity to make the decision, and the first day he came in, and that was me. David, I don't know if it was actually the chairman that phoned me. He says, aye, like, we've accepted the bid. I went, oh. So never changed his mindset.
So the manager, first job when he walks through the door at Rangers is go, I want to get rid of Kenny Miller.
Sure I don't know. He actually phoned me a few weeks later and says it wasn't a case he wanted to get rid of him. It was there was an offer on the table for £3 million.
Too good to turn down at that time.
It was good money. Good money. I was injured at the time as well. I broke my collarbone. And obviously we had an absolute dearth of strikers that were at the club at that time. That's why I went out on loan.
Was Billy
Dodgy's there, Wallace was still there, Flo, Moles, De Boer.
Jeez.
And then you had Kanchelskis, you had McCann on the wings.
Oh man, I seen a picture of Kanchelskis the other day, man. You seen Nick him? You wouldn't see him standing on a ball now. You seen a picture of Kanchelskis? Bloated as fuck.
Up, but you would never think that as well. The boy was an absolute machine.
I remember when I was a wee boy, I walked into the Rangers shop and I always remember the smell of me. Smelled a coconut. And ever since then, I've always bought coconut stuff. Oh, see, I'm obsessed with coconut
oil. So much, I love it as well.
Aye.
Yeah.
Tidy, get in there.
Are you smelling the coconut just now, Kenny?
No, I don't know what it is, actually.
You don't know what it is, but it smells tidy.
It's an expensive one.
Is it?
Aye, it's an expensive one out of Fraser's. Right?
Oh, wow. Well, I'll need to get the one of the cheap rip-off ones. You can get that on Facebook now. They've got the aftershave that's called, what do you call it? It's like rip-off aftershave. So it's like... Anyway, Kanchelskis, what a player.
What a player, an absolute machine.
Aye.
And smelled great.
Of coconuts.
So I take it, were you devastated when you get...
I actually wasn't. I didn't want to leave, but I'd went and had a good loan spell with Wolves. Brilliant group as well, really good group of boys. Big club, really big club. Got off to a flyer there, and they treated me. To be honest, anywhere I've ever been, if I wasn't playing... I want to move on. Like, I don't want to sit about and just...
So you're one of those guys, if you're not playing, no matter what the money is, I need to move on.
I need to move on, yeah.
What did you do when you never got a game for Livy?
I always got a game for Livy. Always selected myself.
I mean, we've dived right into your career at Rangers and then being sold by Dick Advocaat. Alex McLeish, sorry. Yeah. And then you're down at Wolves. That famous goal against Man United that Wolves fans still talk about today.
Yep.
What was that like?
I mean, road of luck, to be fair. It was a bit of a doing. And was it Wes Brown, I think, when I went past, and he slips everything. Tim Howard should probably save it. It's straight down the middle of the goal. But who cares? It's back of the net, and like you say, the rest is history.
Nice feeling, though, isn't it?
Brilliant feeling. I mean, again, to score goals, and I mean, I've always... like scoring goals in big games, important goals. So it was scoring the winner against Man United. You can't ever take that away.
But what do you think is the most special goal you've ever scored? If you think, you sit down, you look back at your career and you go, man, that was the tidiest feeling in the world, that goal there.
Scoring Old Firm goals are special, you know, like the nature of the game, the emotion of the game, they're special. International goal game, my last one against England at Wembley. It was, I mean, it was
what a
decent
goal
as well.
Yep. It's not decent, it's an absolute beauty.
But I'll always look back on the cup final, nine men. I think Ali actually took the team for the cup, so it's quite well documented. Ali would always kind of, or everybody thought Ali would pick the team for the cup game, or the CIS cup, or the Cooperative Insurance Cup as it was that year. But I think at that point, when we went down to 9 men, Walter was straight down and Ali sat down. I've got this. Yep, he was standing on, he pulled us into position, he changed the formation, he was just kicked every ball. He actually headed that in with me as well when the camera goes to him. So he took control that day, and it was, what a performance. But again, that was what that group did. You know, we found a way to win. I mean, I think we had two or three cup finals with Rangers like that where we were right up against that. Falkirk the year before, the Scottish Cup. We were right up against it, and Falkirk were probably the better team. But I think Yogi was the manager for
them.
That's
right,
but I think that goal, that League Cup final goal when we're down to 9 men, the Cup final goal when you're a boy, you dream about like playing for big clubs and scoring goals and important goals, but Cup final goals are extra special.
What time at Rangers did you enjoy the best? Do you think that was probably the second time?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I went there as a young boy when I was 20, all the years back, and loved it. And try to embrace everything that the club was about, the standards. I mean, again, the level of player you had at that point was absolutely out of this world. I mean, Van Bronckhorst and Claudio Reyna, two guys, Alberts, Newmans, De Boers, Craig Moore was there at the time, and Fergie, arguably the best out of them all, was there. Moles, Dodds, Wallace, McCann, these guys were Kinchelskis. And these guys are, look where some of them came from.
Where they went?
Barcelona's and Man U, and where some went on. Yeah. Gio going to Arsenal, going to Barcelona. So that group of players was an exceptional group
did
of players.
Did you know that then, Kenny, or is only now when you look back that you realise just what a special time that was?
No, I knew that then, the group. I mean, I've always liked that. I've got a bit of a brain in my head, and it's not just the old kind of stereotypical footballer, but it's, you knew that at the time. And again, I loved it. I loved walking in that dressing room. I learned every single day playing with these guys, working with them, and like what it took to play at the football club, what it took to be a winner. I mean, I've always kind of considered myself that, but that's a different level, completely different level. So it was a really enjoyable time, but I was a young boy. I played a lot of games that year, actually. Again, had great moments, scoring 5 in one game, following that up with my first Champions League goal after 2 minutes. And my Champions League debut was massive. So I had good spells. We never won anything that year, which is incredible when you just talk about the group of players that we had. But the second time for me, I came back as an established player. I'd worked and established myself as a number 9 for the country. Walter obviously gave me that role. And again, that was my most productive spell in a Scotland jersey as well. As much as I feel I was pretty consistent throughout my time as an international
player. You're probably, for me, Scotland's best ever lone striker.
Yeah.
You ran your socks off.
Yep. But you know,
and you look at some of the games we were playing against, like Italy and all that. You scored against Italy, didn't you? Was there not a header?
Yeah,
in
header. And that one draw. Yeah. Yep. But again, I chipped in my goals throughout my time. And my most barren spell was right at the start between my first goal and my second goal. Was it my second goal, my third goal, it might have been. But after that, I was pretty consistent, chipping in my goals here or there as well. So, but again, that coincided, going back to Rangers in 2008 was... Well,
what made that second spell so special for you in your career? Would you say it's one of the best moments in your career, that actual second spell?
Absolutely, yeah. Because, like I said, I went back as an established player. You know, they were bringing me back to play, and Boyd was there. We could see probably a decent partnership building there as well. Walter was the manager as well, which was, had it not been for him being the manager and Ali being there as well, that opportunity might not have arose. So it was, and we're successful, won the 3 leagues, won a cup each year as well, so there was doubles each year, so it was a successful, real successful spell.
But before you go to Rangers for a second time, did you ever envisage playing for Celtic in between the two Rangers appearances?
No,
I don't think they would they?
No,
it's
one of the things that
was an easy decision.
No, at that time I had a lot of options.
What, to go somewhere else?
To go to stay in England, to go abroad. There was, again, it was off the back, actually, that I was in my final year of my contract at Wolves, and that Italy game was in September.
That's right.
Of that year. And if pretty much from there on, it's snowed. I mean, I started the season pretty well. I mean, it wasn't my best goal-scoring season with Wolves, but I was playing. I know I was playing good stuff. And that then led into the international scene. I think when you play in that game, it wasn't just a goal, and it was a good performance for the lads, but personally it was a good performance against, I mean, two probably the best centre-backs I've played the game in the last 15-20 years in Cannavaro and Nesta. So I think I caught eyes that day, and then once you, if you do your follow-up work, I'd been playing pretty good stuff for Wolves as well. So there was opportunities there abroad in England, and then...
So why ultimately then, knowing the history of Glasgow, knowing what Mo Johnston had been through in his time, I know it's very different. He'd kind of like, I'm going to Celtic, and then he turned up at Rangers. I take it you take that all into consideration. What was the defining reason for choosing to leave England to come back to Scotland and play for Celtic?
Yeah. Why did you do it?
Well, it was, that's, I mean, obviously, I'd been away for Rangers for 5 years at that point. I'd been 5 years at Wolves. Five brilliant years, but I loved it again. That was, along with Rangers, that second time, definitely up there with my most enjoyable times. But I felt it was time to move on. I think the timing of it was right as well. That Wolves team was breaking up. Lescott was leaving, Naylor left.
That's right.
Colin Cameron had left. Dunsey was leaving as well. But the opportunity was in. I like to think myself as a winner. I wanted to win, and I wanted to play a part in a successful team. And going to Celtic at that time, I felt it was a right up Champions League again. I did a wee taste of it. I had a wee taste of it with Rangers. I'd only played one game. I'd been on the bench for a couple of other games, I think.
So you get the call from Strachan.
I got the call, and again, it moved. And that was concrete. It's a good opportunity.
Did you take a bit of time to...
Absolutely.
Because about how the Celtic fans might react? Were you being a former Rangers striker?
I came into it, but
what Rangers fans who...
Ultimately, it never... Obviously, it crossed your mind. Everything does. But I'm quite headstrong with that kind of stuff, and always believe that if I go and do what I do, which is go and be a good professional, be a good teammate. It's a phrase that Gordon used a lot, is be a good teammate. And I felt that whether it be Rangers, whether it was Celtic, Hibs, whether it's, I've always gave everything I've got for the jersey that I'm wearing, you know, and that still includes now at 39 at Partick Thistle. So always believed that would get noticed and appreciated, and eventually, again, that year, it was a successful year. It was the last 16 of the Champions League, a title and a Scottish Cup.
So is everything you'd hoped it would be, because that's why you went there, to experience the Champions League and to be a winner.
Yep, and again, I scored goals in the Champions League as well. I got a couple of goals against Benfica, a winning goal against Copenhagen. Again, I played as partners getting through to the next stages. I mean, again, we won the three home games that year. Naka scored that free kick. Free kick.
So at what point in your Celtic time did you feel like you were accepted? Because clearly you're a Rangers fan, you're a Rangers man, and there you are pulling on the number 9 jersey for Celtic.
I don't know if I was ever, like, for me, it's always been about, anywhere I've been, it's not about me, you know, like, so see, I genuinely mean, and now, it's relevant because of where I'm at, if I wasn't to score another goal between now and the end of the season, but we got promoted, I would quite happily do that, you know.
It's about the team.
Yeah, of course it is. It's not about any individual being successful, it's about the team pulling together and having success, and fought again, going back to Rangers the next time. There was more opposition, I feel, going to Rangers the second time than what there was going to Celtic. Again, whether that's because I'd been away.
He was opposed to it. Yeah. Grado was totally against you coming back to it. He did not want you going back to Rangers after you played for Celtic.
But again, listen, he'll not be the only one. There's thousands and thousands out there.
But it's football. It's rivalry. That's what football's all about. And so when a player that plays with Rangers or Celtic and they cross the divide, you know what I mean? It's obviously, because I remember when he signed for Celtic, I was gutted when he signed for Celtic, you know what I mean? And it's funny, you know, because as I was telling him earlier on, like, I was like, nah, he shouldn't be back at Rangers, he shouldn't be back. And then as soon as you scored the goals at Parkhead, you were my background, my desktop computer, you know what I mean? Just like that, it switched.
But that's what their games do though, don't they? Like, they give you an opportunity to win people over. And that could be whether you've played for Celtic or not played for Celtic, or vice versa, played for Rangers and you go and play for Celtic. It gives you an opportunity to go and win fans over and actually earn your place in their hearts, yeah. or they'll maybe respect you again. They might not like you, they might not even rate you, but they might respect the job that you're actually carrying out.
I remember you come on as a sub, I think, your debut, or should I say your second debut European game. See that night, were you kind of shitting yourself in case the crowd, how the crowd reacted, or was that, or were you just choking to go on there and just prove them all wrong?
Get on and play. Aye. I just want to go and play. I mean, again, that's something that, I mean, fans have a massive, massive part to play in football, whether it be in smaller clubs or, but especially in big clubs, because the clubs like Rangers and Celtic, if things are not going well, it can be a very, very tough place to play. As you've seen over the years, that there's a lot of players that have come and maybe not been able to quite stand up to that. Whereas I was always quite comfortable in it. If people are against it, never really. I was kind of on my own, that I would just stick to the job at hand, a job that I was really, really comfortable doing, and believed that I could do it well, that I would go and do that, and believe eventually that that would win over. And again, thing for me is that if I wasn't doing the job well, I wouldn't be playing. Like, you've got somebody who, so again, Walter Smith picking that team, when I'm in it more often than I'm not, that tells me I'm doing something right, you know, because yeah. if I wasn't, I wouldn't be in.
Do you think you won the fans back over when you scored the goals at Parkhead? Did you get that sense of, right, that's it?
I've again, out of the road. There will always be people, there will always be doubters, there will always be people that feel that maybe I wasn't even a good enough player to play for the club. But that's just the nature of football. But I would like to think the majority, again, not just in that second spell where we did have a successful spell, but even in that last spell there, like, you know, I'd done everything I possibly could and to try and help the team, you know, and help the club get back to where it belonged. And it was even in that later stage of my career, I mean, I still felt I was contributing a lot. And even off the field, probably a lot more than what I had done previous. So always felt that I'd done a decent enough job that people, fans would definitely appreciate the fact that I did a decent job over three spells.
Yeah.
And a lot of, like, over 300 appearances, you know, it's a lot of games to play for a football club.
You played with a lot of decent managers, the likes of Dick Advocaat, Glenn Hoddle, Walter Smith, Mark Warburton. Well, I wouldn't say Mark Warburton was a great manager.
Graham Murray.
Story for another day, probably.
How is Murray as a manager? How is he? So he's put. Murray's put into that position. What is it? February Warburton goes.
Yeah.
He's under 20s coach. He's put right in there. He's put into a dressing room that's, you know, it's maybe not their highest in terms of. What do you call that word?
I think he was a fish out of water.
Right.
It was a fish out of water, but it was thrown into it. Like, you know, and a lot of things have happened over the last, well, in my last 6 months at that football club that were, again, like you say, it is a story for another day, but unforgivable. Yeah. Unforgivable actions by people.
Will you not forgive?
That's not me. It's not about forgiving or looking for any kind of retribution or wishing ill on anybody. That's just not me. But
disappointed?
It's no, absolutely. That's the word bigger, more than any, is disappointed that you don't. I would never treat anybody the way that both myself and Lee Wallace were treated.
Yeah.
I would never treat my worst enemy like that, because you're not getting anything but the football club.
Why do you think that was, Kenny?
Because people at the football club wanted to make scapegoats of people to mask over their own deficiencies. It's as simple as that. And me and Lee were hung out to dry for effectively nothing. But in terms of Graham Murray, he was thrown into a job that he gave everything he got first time. Second time, he then had the job in his hands until the end of the season, which, in my opinion, he wasn't ready for.
So no. you don't hold Graham responsible, or there's any blame aimed at him for the way
he played his part.
He played his part.
Because he never stood up to it. I mean, again, I could tell you a million.
Was he a puppet on a string then?
I couldn't answer that. That is, like, definitively.
Because I just think the way that you had conducted yourself as a Rangers player over so many years, for it to end the way that it did was shameful.
It was shameful, and that's it, unforgivable. Like, it's not, but again, it's disgusting. Mm-hmm. It's actually disgusting the way that what happened with both Lee, and even the following season with Lee. I mean, Lee was stuck there. You know, I had to leave the club that I love, and not even the way that I wanted. And I don't mean going out and having a big, oh, thanks, Kenny, for all your service. I don't mean that. I mean, there's relationships that you build up with people. Oh, and I'm not talking managers and coaches. I'm talking about staff members that you've worked 15 to 20 or the relationship with over since 2000. There's still people there for 2000 that I knew that are still there now. So you're talking over an 18-year span that you never even got to say bye to them. And again, I know that potentially you're not even welcome back in a place that you've been so much and you've worked so hard to
Which means so much to you.
Exactly.
When did you get a sense and a feeling that you were getting stabbed in the back? At
the
what
minute
point?
I got injured at Easter Road.
The minute you got
the second I went down at Easter Road,
the knives were out.
So, the quick backstory, Pedro behaved the same way, because I think it's people behind them that were making decisions, or at least
pushing
planting
them.
Seeds or pushing them in a direction. So, Pedro has his issues. Again, off the back of Old Firm defeats, normally is when the issues came.
Yeah. So, someone else to blame.
So, I was out of the team, wasn't involved in squad. By the way, training every single day, no issue, no fallout with the manager. Every single day, you had a culture of shaking everybody's hands in the morning. Good morning, how are you? Every morning, shake his hand.
He done that, Pedro?
Pedro,
done
every
that.
Morning. And that just wasn't squad getting selected for squads, but with no reason behind it. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, in the squad. All right, fair
so no, no explanation.
No explanation.
How quick, but did you smarten up to Pedro that you thought, right, who is this guy? Right away?
Again, that's another story.
Right.
But
so there you go. So you get to Easter Road.
I'm out of the team. Mm-hmm. Graham Murty, Pedro's relieved his duties.
Right.
Murch takes over again. First, I order his business. I'm back in the squad. I'm wearing the armband. We're beating Hearts 3-1.
That's right. And you score.
Score 2.
Yeah, that's right. I was there that day. You
and
prick.
Captain the team for the next. And captain the team for the next 8 games. Of which 6 we won,
that's
2
right.
we lost. 2 mm-hmm. horrendous losses. And one was that one.
And you were the catalyst of that, because all the headlines are about you coming back at the team.
Which again,
I know you're part of the team and you don't see it as selfish. It's not about me.
But I always believed I could bring something to the
team.
Group.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
And Rangers fans were delighted to have you back. You were you're proving some people wrong.
I get injured and.
At Easter Road.
We win the game 2-1. Mm-hmm. And it's a hamstring injury. It's reported as a real bad one. Never felt that bad. I mean, painful, but never felt as bad as what it was getting reported. Again, physio and Stevie, fantastic physio, great guy as well, knows my body inside out. We knew I'd be back sooner rather than later. So, and it came at a no bad time, because you've got the winter shutdown as well. So I think I missed 3 games or maybe 4 games leading into the winter shutdown. And then over that break, I was always going to be back towards the end of it. So, but in that time, there was I don't claim to be anything special, but I've been around people enough and I've got a fair read on people that within a few days there was a change.
You sensed
a change in atmosphere.
Yeah.
And then towards the end of the thing, I was told we're going to Florida, that I wouldn't be going to Florida. And I actually burst out laughing when I was told, because I knew it was coming. I knew what was going on in the background, and I knew.
Was there a different feel about the club? There's just a weird,
because me and Graham, as much as, like I said, he was probably not ready for that role. As much as he was thrust into it, fair play, he had to go and do the job. But we had actually had a decent enough working relationship that,
just
for
gone.
Some reason, overnight just went.
So is it his decision to not take you to Florida?
I don't think it was Murty. I don't think it would have been.
Because
I was going to be back, and they made the point that it was maybe injury players or injured players weren't going, but there was injured players there.
Yeah.
Me and Lee were left back.
What do you ultimately think the reason was, Kenny? Was it because the wages you were on, the money you were
wages,
on?
Wages, I was probably one of the lowest earners at the club.
Well, what do you think it was, and why do you think that you and Lee were treated like that? You've made to be the scapegoats at that time at the club.
But that season, I'd been harmed to me twice now. So, and see, the year before, even, Mark Warburton had been trying to kind of get me a new contract for November, December time. Mm-hmm. I never signed a new contract till after the Aberdeen game, 3-0. Aye. Scored 2 goals up there. Mm-hmm. We won 3-0 under Pedro. And I thought I was done at that point. I didn't think I was going to get a new deal. Because I just... I've been the place long enough and I know how these people are operating. Mm-hmm. So I just felt the thought, see if somebody came in, people who are listening or people who, I'm no better at all about it, because at some point...
I can tell you're disappointed though.
Oh, of course I am, because I love the place, and it's even moving forward.
Do you still love the place, despite the way you're treated?
Of course I do.
Yeah.
Of course I do. There's people within it that for me are not the right people. But
Still.
But again, that's only my view. You know, it's only my opinion, and I've had to live through... And working with some of these people that I know they're not right, but I still feel now I could have gave something to that group, even now. And whether that be as a backup player or even just having an influence off the field.
Yeah.
Was it Edmondson done his bit this week about senior players who will keep the younger players feet on the ground?
Yeah.
I never read the whole article, I just seen the headline. He'll be talking about Steve Davis and Alan McGregor.
Aye, yeah.
Why will he be talking about the two? because they're the two that have loved it.
Yeah.
They're the two that have been successful. They're the two that know. I spoke to Griggsy after an Old Firm game last year with the one of the ones that won. He said there was a lot of celebrating and he's just sitting there.
Aye. No one nothing yet.
It's one game.
We've known
one
yet.
One game.
Aye.
And that's the kind of influence that I would have brought.
Yeah.
Listen, and I'm not saying I should be there, but see, I'm 39. You know, I probably shouldn't be a player, you know, but I felt I had a role and I could have played a role moving forward. But listen, it's history and what will be in the future. But
has it soured your career at Rangers?
No.
It hasn't soured it. So
I had a bad last 6 months. I never enjoyed that last.
But you're not letting it overshadow the successes and the love and the joy you had?
Not at all. Because I told you, I'm not that person.
And if you were to describe Pedro Caixinha in a sentence, what would it be?
Crazy. Mm. He was crazy. But you know, again, through all this, I've no real feeling either way.
For him?
For Pedro. But what I will say is, he was passionate. He had his methods. It was evident early that their methods probably weren't going to work for where we, like,
from what you could see
for Glasgow Rangers. Yeah.
So was it even like the first day you walk into training?
I wouldn't go the first day, but it was in the first weeks.
So yeah. You must have been like that, kind of going talking to yourselves, going, "Who is this guy? Who is this guy?"
In the first weeks, there was definitely
googling him and all that, and fucking. Well, you bet he's what?
Of course, there were.
Aye,
who is this
guy? He's making a couple of phone calls, going, "Then he's not this guy.
Who's getting this job? Like, who is this guy that was getting the job?" And but again, that's. Like I said, he was passionate. He stuck to what he believed. Mm-hmm. I just, early, we had a long, long chat one day. The Pullman explained the way he works. And I could understand it. He showed me, I had all his footage on the on this projector, and he was running through, and he was doing his stuff. And I sat there and I thought, fair enough. If that's how you want to work, then you're the manager. We as players now have to buy into it. We need to try and carry out your instructions as best we possibly can, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
It's not about us developing a style or picking a team or coming up with a tactic. That's the manager and the coach's job. And he tried to do that. But I came out of that and I thought a lot of the clips and things he was showing me was his work from his previous club, which I think was his Algarafa.
It was some Qatar. Dubai or something like that.
Yep. And I looked at it and I said to him after, I says, "That's great what you've shown me,
but it's not going to work here.
Look at the space that your players are operating in here." I mean, they understand that probably 9 games out of 10, that team's probably going to be 50 yards deeper than what we're, like the team that we're playing is probably going to be 50 yards deeper, and they're probably going to have 9 more men behind the ball than what the majority of these pictures that you're showing me were. And he was like, "No, but it can work. And I went, "Great, well, listen, I hope it's right. I hope it does." And like I said, there was no player who never gave everything to that cause. It just you were up against it, I think, with what he was asking us to do. I just don't think he was, like I say, when you look at everything that went through, and you're asking how soon, I think, and it wasn't just me. There's a dressing room of players that are thinking how, and we had some good players, again, experienced players in that dressing room at the time. You think of Nico Kranjčar, he's played 80 odd caps for Croatia, played in the Premier League for X amount of years, big transfer fees that he would be, Nico was like, I've maybe not a great poker face, but I've got a better poker face than Nico. If Nico didn't like something, he would just need to look and he would be, the disgust would be just ripping at him. So we had some big players and good Graham Dorans and other players played in England against Clint left Hull. The club now. Clint Hull, like, these guys have been about and seen it. And
how is Lee Wallace? I mean, obviously you're close to him because you went through it together.
You did, and you know, I feel for Lee in the respect that I feel a wee bit responsible.
Do you?
I feel a wee bit responsible because Lee loved that place as well, and see the fact that we actually lived and breathed it, that was held against you, I think.
Your passion,
you know, me and Lee would be sitting, so Lee would sit there at the end of the dinner table for breakfast, lunch and dinner, and I would sit there right next to him. And we'd constantly be talking. But by the way, just talking football. Not necessarily talking about, how did we get beat the weekend, or how can we be better as a football club or as a football team. Just talking about football in general. That's what we did. Like, we live and breathe it. Mm-hmm. We don't just live and breathe Rangers. We live and breathe football. Mm-hmm. So we'd be moving the salt shakers or the brown sauces we're putting into our formation. And we're saying, right, so if he moves there, where's the ketchup going to go, you know?
Aye.
So this is the things we've done. But you could see people thinking, like people who are insecure thinking, What are they talking about?
Why are they talking about me?
Are they trying to say they could do the job better? Are they trying to think we should be there or we're doing things wrong? It's not like that. But people were paranoid, you know. There's millions and millions of people in football that are like that. But all it was just a love for football. And it wasn't, like I said, half the time it was in relation to us. But anyway.
Are you saying that you feel responsible because...
Because you were close to me.
Yeah.
I do this and I might be completely wrong, but I'm never wrong.
Was it? Was there that divide in the dressing room?
No, there wasn't. There was not at all.
Because you know there always was that, like, you know,
I know
the Colombians yep. and the Spanish.
The boys were brilliant. They fit in great.
Aye, I like the fact that because I always remember. Obviously, I used to always follow because I've got I know wee Billy Gilmore well. And it was always nice to see the likes of you and Lee when you see the pictures yep. of training. It would always be yous yep. and amongst with the youngins and all that. And I think that does that
help.
That needs to be there. The likes of teams at Rangers where you have people that have lived and breathed it, that have got the experiences that can pass it down, that have got the knowledge. You know, there needs to be players.
In every football club.
Every football club, to get that.
There's a place for people who care about the football club.
Aye, so say about wee Billy, you got a wee funny story there now. Okay. Let me tell us, go.
Aye, brilliant, aye.
He loves that he's pals with Billy Gilmore because he thinks Billy Gilmore is the next big thing.
Well, let me tell you.
Because then I can't wait to his fucking the Don down there and I'm going
to... He is special.
Is he?
He's a special, special talent. And not probably from about 14, 15 it was when you're in floating about Murray Park and maybe we're getting ready to go to a game in the 15s or whoever it is are playing on the Astro and you watch, you can just... He just your eyes just immediately draw to him because he demands... His abilities are there to be seen, but he's in the right positions. He makes the right pass, and that's the thing that sets top players apart from good players, and then for good players to know so good players is the decision making, and his decision making was just even for a young age. Like I genuinely say, I don't mean any disrespect to anyone to be saying that. But see when he came and trained with the first team, his decision making levels were better.
Right.
Than some players in our team. That's not a slight on the players. That's how good he is
yeah.
at that level, at that age. The kid's got it, you know. Yeah. And again, so on that story, so we're watching our game one day, and they never normally finished their game before we had left, but this particular day, they had finished their game. I think they won 7-0 or whatever, because there's a decent team. Dapo is right. in that team as well, and they too are the kind of exceptional performers at that level. They're probably a lot better in their level. So I went there sitting in the indoor hall just as we were walking out that way to go on the bus. So I popped my head in. Ah, boys, what was the score? The boys are just sitting, wee Billy, 7-0. I went, all right, decent game. Aye, easy. I went, okay, brilliant. I went, who scored? I scored. I went, you never fucking scored. I went, you don't get in the box. I went, aye, I did. It was a penalty. I went, brilliant, man. Well done, boys. We're away to the game now. So I walked out and I thought, you know, he's got character.
Aye.
There's a personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, attitude. He's got a bit of balls about him.
Attitude.
And that is a huge, huge difference in that boy. Despite him probably having better abilities, that's a massive, massive difference in that boy.
More with Kenny Miller in just a second, but it worked so well last week. We're taking a wee break from the chat with Kenny Miller to get a quiz question from producer John.
Thanks, Ewan. Since it worked so well last week, we'll do it again. The question this week is, which five Scotland internationals have played the most games in the English Premiership?
Ever?
Ever. Five Scottish players to make the most Premiership appearances ever.
Is that the Premiership starting in the 90s, early 90s?
Yep, and right. I can give you codes if you need be.
Tom Boyd.
I'll give you 2 minutes to go. The English Premiership.
Oh, the English Premiership.
Tom Boyd.
I thought you were talking about the Premiership in Scotland.
No.
The English Premiership. Right. Ryan Giggs.
Starts now.
Ryan Giggs.
Scottish.
All right.
You're fucking hell.
Scott Darren Fletcher.
Boom, number one.
Is he number one?
Yeah.
Number one. Darren Fletcher. John Spencer.
No.
Pat Nevin.
No.
Darren Fletcher.
Scottish. Colin Hendry.
Colin Hendry's a good shout. Oh, no. Scottish.
I can give you the clubs if
Kenny
you need
Dalglish?
Be. No.
Mate, it started in the 90s, you dafty.
He played in the 90s. We nearly won the league with Kenny Dalglish. He was a player manager. So he wasn't part of the Premiership?
No.
Right, okay. Scottish.
Darren Fletcher, number one.
Duncan Ferguson.
Number six.
So
you look for the top five.
Top five. Billy McKinley. When he was at Blackburn.
He's in the top 20, but not
all right.
in the top five. Second one's very
Pat
obvious.
Evans.
Nah.
Pat Evans.
Nah. Hold on. Stuart McCall.
Nah.
No Kenny Miller, was
speaking. No, no, he didn't play as many games for Wilson.
Hold on a second. Scotland internationals.
Scotland, all so top
Barry Ferguson.
Oh, fuck.
No.
What about him that... Did he not end up playing with Scotland, the left back, the Rangers? Did he not play with, would you call him that was came from Man United? Did he not play for Scotland? Left back that came on loan from Man United? Did he not play with Scotland?
No. I don't know what you're meaning, but no, that's all
Phil
right.
Phil Bardsley?
He's in the top 20, but he's...
not in the top five.
Not in the top Bardsley's
five. Bardsley's a good shout. Bardsley's a really good shout.
There's some obvious ones here you're missing. Hold on a wee minute. Running out.
Hold on, shush. I tell you what, just to give us a clue, Giza clubs.
Aye.
Right, I'll give you the top. I'll give you the clubs of number two, Leeds, Coventry, Liverpool.
Gary McAllister,
bastard. Yeah. If I didn't that as obvious, I know.
I'll come back to the third one because I think he's all struggle with that. Fourth one, Middlesbrough, West Brom.
Middlesbrough and West Brom.
Yeah.
Oh.
Middlesbrough and West Brom.
Chris Boyd.
No.
No.
Didn't play for West Brom.
Middlesbrough and West Brom. Oh, James Morrison.
Yep, there you go.
I go with that.
I'll give you number five, which I think you'll get as well. Liverpool, Leeds and Blackburn.
Liverpool. No, it's not Matteo, is it?
It is Matteo. Okay. Right, so circle back to number three and you've got the set here. Coventry and Southampton.
Get your Google down, you're cheating. Coventry and...
Southampton.
Scotland International.
Paul Elliott.
No, but you're halfway there.
Paul Dickov.
Matt Elliott!
No.
Paul Dickov?
No.
No, he's Man City.
Do you want to phone a friend?
No. Paul.
I'm going to phone Ashes. Ashes, remember I was phoning him a bit of other stuff last week?
Hello.
David, right, top S, right, Scotland International, right, to play.
Aye.
In the Premiership.
The third highest,
most appearances.
He's a Scotland international. Most appearances in the Premiership. He played with Coventry and
Southampton.
You're full back for Scotland. Most appearances in the Premiership. Can you think who that is? I said Paul Elliott. He said you're halfway there. So it's either somebody called Paul or somebody called Elliott.
Paul Telfer.
Yeah.
Bastard.
Right. Got it.
Just for that, Ash, he's fucking useless. See you later. Bye-bye, mate. Bye-bye, mate.
Cheers, mate. Right, let's get back to the interview with the one and only Kenny Miller.
Right, you know what? Before
Livingston.
Right, okay, talk about Livingston first, but there's Rangers things I want to ask as a Rangers fan.
Well, fucking ask them then.
Right, come on. What was the best ever feeling as a Rangers player? What was the best games? Tell me about the likes of Kelly, Rugby Park, when we scored three goals inside 10 minutes. Fuck, right, brilliant.
So we'll knock that on the head.
Did you score in the game where Edu scored the minute in the last goal?
No. It was 1-0.
1-0.
But by the way, what a day, though. What a day. I still get goosebumps now seeing that.
That is brilliant.
But you know, see, you need to watch it, because I'm rooted. I'm like rooted to the spot, and it, Boogie hits it, and I'm like, go and get in, and I can't even move my feet.
Because
I'm
you're like a
I'm
fan.
Like, get in. You know, that's what it was. I was heading it, I was kicking it, but my feet were rooted, and then it dropped to Boydie, and like, Boydie, put it in.
How did Boydie no score?
He knees it, and he tries to chest it, and then it drops to Edu, and he kicks it, and all hell breaks, so I just get him in the headlock, and that's him done.
Love it. And then see how the lights are, and then end of the game, they're like, come on over to my place.
There you go. We're having a party. I think that pretty much decided that was a league.
Yes,
that day.
Yeah, that was huge.
And that's I think that put us maybe 10 clear that day, if I remember rightly. But it was something like that. But it was a confirmation that if we'd have to have an absolute beast if we were going to win the league.
Yeah.
So that great. Listen, the year before at Tannadice was a brilliant day.
Oh, that's one.
It was a brilliant day.
That's a great day.
But again, Pedro scores, Laugh scores, you're 2-0 up at half time, Big Boydie scores just after half time, you're 3-0, and you know that's you, you've got the league title in the bag. So great days.
They were the best days, weren't they, for you?
Winning.
Mm-hmm.
Winning trophies. You know, I love the Old Firm games. I love watching them now. I just wish I was still out there. That's the problem. But I love the Old Firm games and scoring the goals and winning the games, whether it be Ibrox or Parkhead or get, but winning trophies is what it's, because see the Old Firm games, that's 3 points towards winning a league. That's ultimately what it is.
Yeah.
It means a lot to everybody surrounding the football club, fans, players, coaches, workers, everything alike. It means so much to them, but ultimately it's 3 points, and that's why Alan McGregor's sitting on his arse no celebrating, because he knows, by the way, we've done nothing. We need to kick on next week. We need to back it up. Aye. We need to go and back it up.
With that in mind, Rangers clearly lost the first Old Firm game of the season, but they're 2 points clear at the top of the league. Will Rangers win the league this year?
I said before the league started, I fancied them to win the league.
Yeah. So did I. Everyone laughed at me. I got the absolute piss ripped out of me when
I
said...
No, listen, it's not any outrageous statements. It's just a belief that I look at the squads, I look...
Managers?
Look at the managers.
Well, you got to know it would be a part of Stevie Gerrard's team.
Yeah,
that must have been gotten.
It was, because like I said, I still believe that I could have had a role within that dressing room.
Still time yet. You could be back there.
Right, listen, I've got 5 years left playing. So, no.
You think Rangers will win the league this year?
Listen, I don't think Rangers will be far away this year. And I say that, again, if you've got to make a prediction, you've got to make a prediction, you know. So I fancied Rangers to win the league. I don't think it's not going to be easy.
Jake, you're like back to the old days. It's basically the old form games that might ultimately decide this.
You know, you say that, but we're 8 games in at the moment.
Well, Rangers and Celtic have dropped 5 points against Hibs and
after beating Rangers. So yeah. The old form games, everybody says the old form games. You know what? Rangers could lose the 4 old firm games and still win the league.
Yeah.
And I think everybody would accept
that. So just be better than the rest and you should win the league.
Which, the thing is, over the last 3 years, that's what's let Rangers down.
Yeah.
Is the consistency, the performances. Not just the performance, because ultimately it's about results. But the results, the consistency has not been there. Whereas if you look at, you lose the old firm game and it was a tame-ish performance, I think we could say. They go then 3, 4, 5 in the league. Yeah. Like, that don't look like, touch wood, that they'll drop. They will drop points, by the way, over the course of the season. So will Celtic. So everybody drops points to teams that you potentially shouldn't drop points to. But
and that could be the game after the international break away at Tynecastle.
That's going to be a good game, that.
It will be a good game. I was going to talk about Livingston, but do you want to just sum that up in a sentence?
Enjoyed it. I really did.
I didn't expect that.
What was it?
The Tony Macaroni? You like the macaroni?
No. Management. I loved it.
How long was it? Was it just a month?
7 weeks.
7 weeks. I loved looking at watching the opposition and working out how we could play against them.
Who did you fall out with?
Pass. Well, no comment.
I know a few.
Did you square go someday?
No. Never square go.
It wasn't like that. It was above, wasn't it?
No, it was just, again, I really, really enjoyed that. Lessons to be learned, though. Yes. I say, as always, you look for a stable.
What was it like coming on at Parkhead as a sub for Livingston? And was that a kind of...
I started the game, you.
He's a player manager. Of course he's going to start.
Oh, I thought you'd come on as a sub. Did you sub yourself?
I came off.
What did he do? Did you just go, right, I want half? Did you just do that? Is that what you did? Coming half.
It was 3-0 at the time, so it was...
I'm not taking the blame for this. I'm fucking off.
But you know what? I actually enjoy standing on the touchline as well. And again, you see the game different. I mean, I feel I've got, even for playing in games, I've got a decent take of what's going on and maybe how we're playing or how we can maybe change things to be better. Which again, that's why I took that role, because I believed that I could do that well. But it's always nice. See, when you're standing and you're watching the team playing, you see it more. You see kind of positions. I mean, again, as a forward, you never know if your back line's going to be in the right position, if they're squeezing the game, if they're too deep.
Yeah.
So on the side, you can see everything, you know.
So, I mean, clearly you've got a taste for management. It's something you will do again in the future. You're currently at Partick Thistle, and I thought that you might have got involved when Gary Caldwell was given the heave-ho.
You must have thought that, no?
No.
No, but what I meant was to be part of the backup,
to be part of the team.
Yeah.
I was part of Gary's. Like, that's why I went there. I didn't want any title, player coach. They don't need it.
Yeah.
I'm a player, first and foremost. But where I can help, where I can weigh in with a view and opinion, I was doing. Me and Gary would speak every other night about things, and whether it be leading into a game or kind of going through what's just happened in the previous game.
Are you enjoying Partick?
I am.
Ian McCall's back.
He is, and he's again, he's different. Every manager is, but I think he will get a response.
He got a response to that first game.
And if he doesn't, he'll be telling you.
Aye. I mean, can I just thank you and Ian McCall and the rest of the squad, because the first game that Ian McCall was in charge of, he goes to Inverness, who are one of the favourites against the playoffs, and I just had a funny feeling that he would do something, and I put a bet on £20. 8-1, both teams to score, and Partick Thistle to win away. 8-1, and you won 3-1.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Oh, it's 8-1. Yeah, it's one of them. It's after the event. You're going, why not put a grand on that?
You got a grand to put on fucking bet?
No, I'm just.
Why are you getting paid in this? What's you getting paid?
You can't bet, so I can't even.
Right, aye. Listen, I want to do something before we go. We're going to call it a day in just a second, but first things first, Kenny Miller and Grado, I've got some random questions for you.
Hold on.
I need both of you to answer them.
Is it just a quiz?
They're just random questions. Random questions. Right. If animals could talk, which animal could be the rudest?
Dogs.
A dog would be the rudest. A monkey would be the rudest. Why a monkey, Ken?
You asked me the question. I said, why a dog?
Why a dog?
Well, you asked the question, I answer, that's it.
Right, well, actually, you've got a point with monkeys because they're the most associated to humans, aren't they? You know, they've got paws and all that.
Well, they've got paws, watching them as well.
So you're going to
agree with Ken? They've got horns and all that, aren't they? And they've not got paws, so they're most likely to be like humans, aren't they? Oh, fuck, what kind of question is this?
Great. Right. Here's the next question. Would you rather paint a wall with your face or your knees?
Knees.
My face, because I've got a knee injury from a film stage.
What Spice Girl best describe you? Posh, sporty, ginger, baby, or scary? Kenny.
Sporty.
Grado.
Sporty.
Posh.
If you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be? Kenny.
Be younger.
Younger?
Yep.
You want to go back there and do it all again?
Yep.
Yeah. Grado.
I wish I accepted offer a breast reduction surgery a couple years ago.
You were offered a breast reduction surgery.
That's a story for another day, right?
But you were offered it.
Aye, next day.
Next week, then we'll talk about that. And right. What movie scared you as a kid, Kenny?
Can't.
Ooh.
A movie that scared you.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Snap! The exact same movie for me. Shat myself.
Maybe Show My Edge as well.
Yeah. Grado.
Candyman.
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, wasps! Oh, the wasps coming out of the toilet and all that, and the big.
So you're scared of a wasp?
Oh, I've got a major fear of wasps, but the Candyman, seeing it in front of a mirror, that biffed me out as I went. I'd never ever seen it in front of a mirror. Oh, no, fuck that.
Have you never done it?
Any chance.
Shite bag.
Cake or pie, Kenny?
Cake.
Both.
What's the best type of cheese, Kenny?
Camembert.
Yeah, that's quite. Do you know, I've got a major passion for cheese, but I've never tried camembert.
But by the way, if you ask my wife, I don't like cheese. But I like it on pizzas or baked potatoes.
And it would be a nice camembert.
A wee bit chutney, a wee grape.
All right, nice.
On Saturday, that's a wee glass of red.
Nice.
Better last night. I had smoked cheese. I had blue cheese. I had cheddar. I had this orange with blue in it, and it tastes like the woman said it was like chocolate. It tastes like chocolate. The
funny chocolate
thing
cheese.
Is, the funny thing is, even I went to the cheese shop, right, and I says to the woman, "What kind of cheese in here do you recommend? Which is your favourite?" She went, "I don't know. I'll get my cheese from Asda." What a fucking cheese shop!
And she gets her cheese from Asda.
What can I anyway? So I'd say if you pick a favourite. Probably would be just a nice straight up cheddar to put my macaroni.
Okay. How many chickens would it take to kill an elephant? What do you think? The two of you can discuss 114. This. 140. That's a lot of chickens.
Aye, it's a big elephant.
Aye.
792.
Don't thick skin as well, so if you're thinking about the peckings or this.
If you had the power to shrink any one object and carry it in your pocket, what would it be?
I'll leave this to Grado's imagination, this one.
Do you want me to just ask another question, Grado?
Yeah, we'll move on for that. Right.
MacBook.
What? Does the phone not do the same thing?
No. You're right. You've got the phone. Why would you put MacBook in
all
your
right,
pocket?
All right, my phone
now. Put your phone first in your pocket.
But no, this one's big.
Easier.
It's too big. Because right. Every time I go on the motorbike, it falls out like that. So I
screen, safe phone. Fart. £120 down.
What was your favourite toy growing up, Kenny Miller?
Probably my football.
Kick about all the time?
Oh, tennis. Sometimes I never had a ball. It'd be a tennis ball. I'd be kicking about
aye,
the street.
I was the same. Grado, what was your favourite toy growing up?
My goalie trousers.
Your goalie trousers?
Aye, I was a goalie. And when I got the goalie trousers, Nate Dels in my scheme.
I've got the
goalie
patches,
trousers.
All the
aye,
things.
Aye, aye. And I got to wear the white side. It reminded me of like feet. Aye, Rush. It might have been Rush, aye.
Royce,
you did that? Have I got white a bit in my life?
No,
is that
why
you did
that?
Because I love goalies and all that, so it reminded me of being like Phil Snowdles, because he would wear the white socks. And the
so goalie the goalie trousers,
aye. Is that a shit answer?
It was, aye. Moving on.
Not really a toy, aye.
No, it's not even a toy, man.
Right then, hold on. Fuck's sake.
Toy? A fucking toy.
A toy is not a toy.
A wrestling belt. A wrestling belt.
Was your favourite toy?
I've got a wee story about wrestling belts, by the way.
I go on then.
There you go, what?
So, we used to play, me and Griggsy McGregor, we'd play Hearts against Coyste and Pip, the physio. So we used to pump them all the time. Coyste would say Pip was rubbish, but me and Griggsy would pump them all the time. So we got a couple of the wee toy
belts,
WWE belts. Come on, put them on, walk into my hall. It was the night before an Old Firm game, actually. I think we won it. We better won it. Came out of the belts, high above the head, some play the best music coming on.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. But you've been in a WWE ring, haven't you?
I have, aye.
And I've no.
A couple more questions before we call it a day. If you could live in a movie, what movie would it be? If you could live in a movie.
Willy Wonka Chocolate Factory. 100%. Oh, aye, man. Get to go down there now with the chuggy. Get the chuggy and then the fucking thing that makes you fly. Remember? And then you have to start it rafting.
Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory is a movie you like to live in.
Aye.
Right, Kenny?
So many movies that are. Buzz off.
Quite a lot there, aren't
aye. Loads and loads.
I mean, you were quick there. You've thought that one through.
Aye. I like the sports movies, like Shot Remember the Titans or something. There's a big movie like with Denzel's in that.
Oh, that Alan McCoy's movie.
Braveheart.
Braveheart.
Yeah. I'd be Braveheart, obviously.
Yes,
like
yes.
Yeah.
Leading from the front.
Yeah, but I wouldn't get killed at the end. But, no, I might go Braveheart.
Braveheart. Yeah. And finally, what's the funniest joke you know?
What'd you call a man without a dog?
What'd you call a man without a dog? That's yeah, just good.
Oh, knock knock.
Who's there?
Disease.
Disease who?
Disease be trousers fit me.
Douglas was better.
Yeah, that was better.
Kenny, favourite joke.
I'll go with that. I'm going with that one.
No, yeah.
That is my favourite.
Do you know that joke?
No. I know that's great. Up top. It's not for the show. It's too long, but Liam Kelly told us a right good joke about. Well, that's it. It's not for the show.
Right, okay.
That was a right good job.
Right, okay.
So just take my word for that.
Right, okay.
So you'd be laughing for fun as well. Better than Douglas as well.
Kenny Miller, it's been an absolute pleasure, my man. All the best at Party Thistle, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure. I had a right good laugh with it, my man. Thanks for coming on.
No problem.
Cheers, bud.
Is that half hour I asked if you squared with Marty?
It's now time for Beer 52 Match of the Week. Your chance to win a case of beer from Beer 52. Over to you, Grado.
Aye, congratulations to Andy Brown, who correctly guessed the 1-1 result at the weekend between Aberdeen and Hibs to win a case of beer. It's international weekend, so our Beer 52 is Match of the Week is Scotland versus San Marino
now,
on Sunday.
Now, see this game. This game could be anything from just a dodgy 1-0 to a 9-0 for Scotland.
I would start Shankland.
Aye, I would. I would start Shankland ahead of Bark. I
definitely would.
100%, because if he
go
can...
Go for it. If he can date in the championship, he can date against San Marino.
Yeah, 100%. You know why he just said that? He's stealing my thunder. I just said that to him before we did Beer 52. That's why you're giggling away there. A big smile on your face. You're a dick. So to win, all you have to do is guess the correct score before midday on Sunday. So Scotland, San Marino at Hampden, what will the score be?
Scotland 3. San Marino, 0. Shankland, hat-trick.
I'm going for 7-0 Scotland.
Are you?
7-0 Scotland.
How many goals for Shankland?
Shankland will get a couple, but I think we will go out there and blow them away.
You think so?
Aye, I do. So if you want to get involved with a prediction for Scotland versus San Marino, all you have to do is go to our Facebook page or our Twitter page and give us a prediction. Just put a prediction down. Winners must be 18 or over and stay in the UK. And you can get free beer from Beer 52 as well if you do not win a case of beer with us. How do you do that, Grado?
All you need to do is go to www.beer52.com/daft and we can sort out 8 beers if you just cover the £4.95 postage. And as an added bonus for the Football Daft listeners, you can get 2 extra free beers. That's a total of 10 free beers. Your first boats will be sent to you next day and will contain beer from all over Europe. It's a monthly subscription service for beer and Beer 52. They don't hold you to ransom. You can leave at any time. So just go to www.beer52.com/daft/daft to get your first case of 10 beers for free.
Mate, do you have to say www nowadays? Do you have to
I
do
don't
it?
Know.
You
I don't.
Know. It's like football people, daft. Football daft forward slash daft.
It's like when people say, give me your email address, and you go, it's Graham Steveley or the one word. You go, obviously it's not the fucking one word. You don't get spaces in it.
Do you put a dot in the middle of Graham Steveley?
No, but I mean, it's...
I'm Ewan Dot in right. my email.
Aye, no.
You're just one word.
No, I'm Golden Graham.
Golden Graham.
Golden Graham 2003.
At
I'm not saying.
I thought you were going to walk right into that. Beer52.com/daft is what you need today. That's just about it for the Football Daft podcast with Ewan and Grado. Our thanks to our very special guest today, the one and only Kenny Miller.
Yeah, well done.
Great stuff from Kenny. Thank you so much for coming in. And he wants to come back. He enjoyed the experience that much. We do love to get your reviews on the Apple podcast. So please drop us a little review. Let us know what you think of the show, good or bad. Grado, what reviews we got this week?
I've got a 5-star review from Dylan Bob P. He says, brilliant entertainment, great partner, guests who are really involved, and Frank. The only negative is the beginning when Ewan says encyclopedia brain. It should be an encyclopedic brain. This is my favourite podcast and no one should be without it in their life. Mate, we've pulled you up for that for the very start. I have an encyclopedia brain.
Right. I said to the guys here who produced the show, I know I got that wrong. I picked up on it straight away, but they've left it into me look like a fucking idiot. And I know that there's been an encyclopedia brain.
Get it round you. Right, here, I've got a kebab shop to go and open up, so I need a boost.
So leave your reviews on the Apple podcast. We'd love to hear from you what you think of the show. That's just
think I'll get fed of this then, eh?
You'll get fed of this, eh? You'll get fed, no problem. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you so much for your support. We're back again next week. Grado, guess what? You've been daft.
You've been football. It's yourself. Remember that.
This is 4 Network.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our 4 favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.